It is time to begin our evening worship service. This evening you're going to, I think, you might be hearing something that no one else has heard before. And that is, I don't know that anyone has ever heard our brother speak in English. I don't know. Never preached a sermon in English. There you get a special treat this evening. We're going to let you know, I guess, first to remember the announcements for tomorrow. Tomorrow at 9:30, we're going to meet here again in the prayer service. And then the remainder of the afternoon is going to be the same as was already scheduled previously on the written schedule that was published and placed out on the table in the foyer. The opening song for this evening is number 306. 306. Let's stand, please. Please kneel with me in a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we bow our knees before you and as we are humble, we pray that thy Holy Spirit rest upon us, bless us this night, and through your servant that he indeed, Father, will be given a message for us in plain and simple words that we can understand, comprehend, and apply them to our lives. Give him liberty with the scriptures, liberty of thought, that thy spirit may indeed speak to us. We always pray, Father, for forgiveness for our sins and weaknesses as we come before thee. that we may be blessed and uplifted, strengthened in these last days, and carried to the end of all of your purposes. Ask, O Lord, that you bless those who are not with us and strengthen them, those who have had to travel far distances and are yet contemplating traveling from this day or tomorrow or the day following. Keep them all safe and sound till they arrive in their homes. Bless us till we shall all be together again to be able to carry on the business of your kingdom. This night, Father, we rejoice and give you thanks for all that you have done for us and for this privilege, Father, to be here once again together. And may we be able, Father, to glean the good that you have for us. And we pray in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. There is now to be a special. Thank you. I feel privileged. Our brother asked me this afternoon if I would introduce him, and I feel greatly privileged to have that opportunity. I've known Ronnie for several years. When I first met him, he was a very serious young man, and he didn't smile very much. In recent years, he's smiled much more. I think he feels the fulfillment of God's promises and gifts in his life, and has had many wonderful experiences. There's a lot of things I guess I could tell you about him, and it probably wouldn't be the right thing to do, but I would like to tell you this, that you've often heard perhaps of stories of old missionaries traveling around the country, hitchhiking, going on trains and things like this. And living on practically nothing. So the only thing I'll tell you is that, well, some parts of the world, Church of Christ has those kind of missionaries once again. The young man that you're going to listen to is one of those men, and he lives in a dangerous country, a dangerous world. And takes the gospel to very humble, simple people in the mountains, and lives on practically nothing. God's blessed him because of it, and given him an abundance of many things. So, like I say, there's a lot of things I could say, and they would be possibly wrong, because I might be building him up too far, because he's just a man. That's what he is. But he is a man who has sacrificed a great deal to take this gospel. Please give him your attention. Elder Ronnie Gill.
I have to ask for your prayers tonight. I have to be honest, I'm not very good standing in front of people. Since I was just little, I've been a very introverted person, and I get kind of really nervous and sweaty when I get in front of people. I'd like to bring greetings to you all from the brothers and sisters in Honduras. They thank you for your prayers and your help that has made their lives a little bit better. And they send your love, they send their love and their prayers to you. This night I'd like to talk to you a little bit about something that's very important to me. I'd like to talk to you about the opportunity of a lifetime. I'd like just for a moment for each one of you to forget what's happening in the world today. Put out of your mind the turmoil that exists today in this world. And I'd like to open up your mind to some new possibilities. I'd like to start out tonight telling you a couple stories of different things that have happened in Honduras. Not that long ago, before we bought our Land Rover, we had a small pickup, two-wheel drive, probably no bigger than a Geo Metro. We drove up to a small town that's called Ocotillo. It's about a 2-2.5 hour drive, going up steep mountains. You just go up and up and up and up till you get there. Well, we went up there, three of us. Me, Santos, and Ephraim, two brothers in the church. We got up there, we had our meetings, and on the way back it started to rain. Well, it's a small truck, but we crammed three people in the front cab. I don't know if you can picture in your mind me, Don McIndoo, and Buzz in the front of a Geo Metro. But that's kind of what it was like. As we're driving down this hill, sliding from one side to the other, the rain is coming down so bad that it's literally cutting 1.5 deep trenches in the road. And we're having to drive over the top of these. You slip in them, you're stuck, you're done. There's no tow trucks. No AAA service to come and tow you out. Well, we're driving down on the windshield wipers, going as fast as it can, and I still can't see out of the window. And to our good luck, the windshield wiper decides to take a vacation and goes flying. So we stop the truck, and I back up to pick up my windshield wiper. And to make things even better, I drove over top of it. I picked up what was left of it, rolled down my window, and the rest of the way home, I was the windshield wiper. In the morning when we went up to Ocotillo, there's a river bottom that we have to drive through. Part of the season, it's dry. And part of the season, it's got about a foot of water in it. Well, when we had went across, it was the beginning of the rainy season, there was about a foot of water in it. When we come back down, I dropped them off and got down to the river. And it had been raining the whole time. And we got down there. Well, I should say I got down there. I dropped them off. And when I went across, the water was up to the midpoint of my door. But I made it across. Behind me, about 5 minutes, was a brother from Ocotillo. He got on his bicycle and come in behind me to see if I'd make it across. He didn't think I'd make it. And he got down there, and when he got down there, no more than 5 minutes behind me, he decided he was going to swim across and ask on the other side if they'd seen me go by. And he didn't get no more than 2 yards in, and it was already over his head. He just missed it by a little bit. Over and over again, the Lord blessed us down there. The other day, I told a testimony. Some of you have heard it. Some of you didn't, so I'm going to tell it again. About 3 weeks ago, again, heading up to Ocotillo. On our way up, we have a small stop in a town called Quebrado Larga. And we stopped there and we had our service. And it kind of went a little bit longer than I really hoped it would. Because we have a lot of driving to do and a lot of talking to do. And a 2-hour service in a house can end up being a 5-hour service when you get done with all the conversations on both sides. And so we had a lot to do, and we didn't really have a whole lot of time to spare. And Saturdays, I have to be down in the church in Zamorano for the service there also. Well, we left from Quebrado Larga, went up to Ocotillo. Everything went fine. Come home, dropped Santos off, went down to church, held service. A beautiful day. Couldn't have asked for anything better. Following day, we had a sacrament service in Ocolee. Got up there a little bit earlier, and we were waiting for everyone to get in and sit down. And one of the brothers comes over and sits down by me. And he asked me, "Do you know what happened yesterday?" I said, "Well, I was on the road all day yesterday, got home late, went to bed, and now you see me here. That's about all I know." He says, "On the road up to Ocotillo, there's a curve that's called the Cuchillas." He says, "Yesterday, probably not more than half an hour ahead of you, 3 buses and 2 cars were hijacked. Everything that anyone owned on all 5 vehicles was stolen. 3 men with guns walked off with it. We just missed it because our meeting went a little bit longer than I wanted it to. The Lord watching out for us." Another time, a little pickup was broke down, and my mom had brought down there a Suzuki Sidekick, 4-wheel drive. Rainy season, I'll take the 4-wheel drive. Borrowed it from her, and we went up to the mountains. Went across through the water, and the water was up just a little bit below midpoint of the door. We went up, had our meeting, come back down, and I looked at it, and the water looked a little deep, and I wasn't sure I could get back across it. But I thought, I'm going to give it my chance. I'm going to give it a shot. Got most of the way across it, and the car started to go sideways a little bit. Started floating. Started climbing out on the other side, and even a 4-wheel drive, it would not come out. There I am, stuck in the river, water up to the middle of the door, worried that if I turn the motor off, I'm going to ruin it, and I don't know what to do. 10 o'clock at night. Don't have a cell phone to call anyone. So I opened the soft top, locked all the doors, climbed out, and walked 45 minutes to find a tractor. Woke him up at 10 o'clock and asked him if he'd come and pull me out. Sure, he says, I'll come and pull you out. We get down there, and as we're coming in and the lights hit the Suzuki Sidekick, I see that the soft top's closed. And I left it open. Well, I started thinking and praying, Lord, I've done lost all my books twice. I've had to re-highlight my Bible and my Book of Mormon 3 times now. I really don't want to do it again. We hooked up the chain and we pulled the car out. I checked over everything. Nothing was missing. I thought, that's really odd. I know I left the top open. Why is it shut? Well, the guys there tell me, would you like us to tow you all the way home? Engine's probably toast. Well, let's just see what kind of blessings the Lord has. I pulled out the oil dipstick. No water in the oil. Put the key in the ignition. Starts right up. They all stood with their mouths open. They'd never seen that happen before, because every Toyota that's ever happened, that it's been ruined right there on the spot. That was quite a blessing. As I was getting ready to go and letting the engine warm up and get the water out of the exhaust system, a guy comes over and nothing more than his briefs. So I know he'd swim in the water. He says, do you know me? I said, no, I don't know that I know you. I may have seen you sometime. You know, I meet a lot of people, but I can't say I really know you. He says, I work with one of the brothers in Oakley. I saw your car get stuck. I swam across and closed the top and been standing over in the bushes watching it so no one would steal anything. The Lord still has angels. Sometimes we don't necessarily see them as angels, but they're there watching over us. I tell you these stories, and I tell a lot of people these stories, because a lot of people ask me, why? Why would such an intelligent man working for a computer industry with positive future, good benefits, good pay, leave it all to live in poverty? It doesn't seem intelligent. And people ask me why. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to answer that question and tell you about the opportunity of a lifetime. I'd like to start tonight reading in a passage in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 45. And I'd like to read for you verses 11 through 13. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price, not for reward, saith the Lord of hosts. These verses speak out to me and tell me a lot. The Lord starts out asking. Ask me about the future and I'll tell you about it. I'll tell you what my children are going to be doing in the future. Everything that you see in this earth, God created. He says, I put man here. And I'm going to tell you what that man's going to do. He's going to create my city. He's going to let the captives free without price. That to me is so important. Nephi, when he got done reading passages in Isaiah to his brothers, they looked at him and said, Nephi, is this just referring to the spiritual? And Nephi said, no, this is referring to the spiritual and to the temporal. I'd like to read another passage for you. It gives me a lot of hope. In the Book of Mormon, in the second chapter of Nephi, chapter 12. Starting in verse 86. And as many as shall believe in Christ shall also become a delightsome people. And it shall come to pass that the Lord God shall commence his work among all the nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, to bring about the restoration of his people upon the earth. And with righteousness shall the Lord judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. For the time speedily cometh that the Lord God shall cause a great division among the people. And the wicked will he destroy, and he will spare his people. Yea, even if it so be that he must destroy the wicked by fire. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And then shall the wolf dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the water cover the sea. Sometimes I think as a people we forget who we are. We get real patriotic, thinking we're Americans. But you know, not all members of the Church of Christ are Americans. We need to think about that a little bit. When we read about this city, and as we've heard this whole past week about Zion, those are not synonymous with America. Sometimes we forget. Each one of us, when we went down into those waters of baptism, we made a commitment to the first two laws that God set up. The first being love God above all things. The second being love your neighbor as yourself. That's not what the world does. That's not the goals of the world. That's not the goals of the United States. That's only the goals of God's people. And that's who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be building that kingdom every day in our lives, in what we say and what we do and what we show to the people around us, because it's the only kingdom that's going to last forever. We have to also remember sometimes, I guess we got kind of a word in English that sometimes doesn't sit very well with me. It's not so much that I'm opposed to it, but sometimes I see it as us trying to get out of what we really should be doing. The word's tithing. I'm not opposed to tithing, don't get me wrong. But far too often, I think, when we look at what we have in our lives, we try to justify, all I got to give to God is this little bit. And we forget, that's not really what impresses God. There's a special story I really like in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. I'd like to paint a small picture for you. You have a temple, kind of like we have here. Doors going out, and beside the doors, there's a box. People are coming and going, and as they come and go, they're putting their tithing in that box. At this particular incident, our Lord and Savior, they're watching each person as they come and put their tithing into that box. He's watching the rich. He's watching the middle class. He's watching the poor put their tithing into that box. And along walks a widow. Drops into the box the equivalent of about 50 cents. And a smile passes across our Savior's face. I can just see things stopping for a brief moment. As he beckons to his disciples, come look at this. And I can see them in my mind. Someone must have given a lot. And they get over there and the Lord's pointing to 50 cents. What's so big about that? And the Lord says, you don't understand. She gave her life. That's what the Scripture says. She gave her all. Far too often in our lives, we're just trying to give the bare minimum that we can get away with giving. And what really impressed the Lord was when she gave her all. She was willing to give her life. It says she gave what she needed to survive. That's her life. If we don't eat, we don't live. And that's what she was willing to give up to build the kingdom of heaven. I'd like to ask each one of you this night, what are you willing to give up to build the kingdom of heaven? Do you want to be there? I want to be there. And I want to see each one of you there. I want to see the brothers from Africa there, the brothers from the Philippines there, the brothers from Mexico and Honduras, and every other place that we're going to go. I want to see them all there. But you know, the United States is one of the few blessed countries that exist in this world. And a lot of the other people need help. And they need some people willing to give their all to help them. I've got a saying written down here that I think is very important. I'd like you to remember. It's better to suffer for want in this life, but know that all you had went into the building up of God's kingdom, than to sit well here, needing nothing, and arrive at God's kingdom with nothing, maybe not even salvation. Sometimes we get a little bit too concerned making sure we have good health care, a good retirement, and we forget the real retirement that we're supposed to be working for. This life's short. 50 years, 70 years, 100 years, and it's over. But there's another life that goes on forever. And the retirement plan there is a little bit more important because there's no second chance. I'd like to read another passage in the Book of Mormon and 3 Nephi, chapter 9. When I read these passages and think about what these words say, to me it's telling me that right now we as a people need to begin to work together. You see, the Lord, many years ago, did a work that today is very important. The Lord placed on the hearts of many people to come here to Missouri, to Center Place, to begin a work that now has gone to the rest of the world. We really don't have time anymore to contend or squabble over doctrine. We've got a bigger work that we need to do. And the Lord set up right here the beginning of that. The other day I was talking with my Uncle Glenn and I explained to him what I see in my eye. I see a bicycle wheel, and a bicycle wheel that has a hub in the center. That hub is right here. But that hub isn't the whole picture. There's places all over that the gospel's got to go, and they need the people here. When I say they need the people here, I don't just talk about your money and your tithing. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about your time also. We have brothers in Honduras that can't read the Scripture, and their children are headed for the same path. It would mean the world for them if someone come and taught them how to read. Think about it. Here in 3 Nephi chapter 9, I'd like to start reading in verse 101. I see two options here in this verses that we're about to read, and I know you guys have read them many times, but I'd like you to think about them more seriously tonight. It says here, "Yea, woe be unto the Gentiles, except they repent. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Father, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots. I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds. I will cut off witchcrafts out of thy land, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. The graven images I will also cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee. And thou shalt no more worship the works of thy hands. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities. And it shall come to pass that all lying and deceiving and envying and strifes and priestcrafts and whoredoms shall be done away. For it shall come to pass, saith the Father, that at that day whosoever will not repent and come unto my beloved Son, them will I cut off from among my people, O house of Israel. And I will execute vengeance and fury upon them, even as upon the heathen, such as they have not heard." Now I'd like to continue into chapter 10, starting in verse 1. "But," and I like that word, it gives me a lot of hope. "But if they will repent and hearken unto my words, and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them, and they shall come into the covenant and be numbered among this, the remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance, and they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob, and also as many of the house of Israel as shall come, that they may build a city, which shall be called the New Jerusalem. And then shall they assist my people, that they shall be gathered in, which are scattered upon all the face of the land, in unto the New Jerusalem. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also will be in the midst. And then shall the work of the Father commence at that day, even when this gospel shall be preached among the remnant of this people. Verily I say unto you, at that day shall the work of the Father commence among all the dispersed of my people, yea, even the tribes which have been lost, which the Father hath led away out of Jerusalem. Yea, the work shall commence among all the dispersed of my people with the Father, to prepare the way whereby they may come unto me, that they may call on the Father in my name. Yea, and then shall the work commence with the Father among all nations in preparing the way, whereby his people may be gathered home to the lands of their inheritance. And they shall go out from all nations, and they shall not go out in haste, nor by flight. For I will go before them, saith the Father, and I will be the rearward. And then shall that which is written come to pass." The Lord talks about two things. We had a brother who stood up in our solemn assembly and gave a dream of destruction, of an imminent power that may come into this land. We just read it in chapter 9. An imminent destruction that may come to pass. But the Lord said, we have a choice. We can repent and begin building his kingdom. He says that the Gentile people may assist his people in the beginning of building that city. The same city that we read about in Isaiah chapter 45. The one his children built. And one that's established, which today we have established basically spiritually, but we miss a lot. And when that's established, he says, then the rest will be able to happen. You see, when I look at the church and I listen to our business meetings, and I look at the amount of money that it costs to do missionary work, and I look at the amount of money that your church brings in, I see that eventually we're going to hit a dead end. Because the church in third world countries and missions is growing faster than the church is growing here. And in the third world countries, they can't tithe as much as can be tithed here. It's a world apart. And we need to begin thinking a little bit different. There was a time when the Lord went and fasted 40 days. And when he was done fasting, the devil come to him and began tempting him. And one of those temptations, I sense that we tend to fall in today. He looked at our Savior and said, all you have to do is kneel down and I'll give you all the nations of the world. The nations of this world are not the nations of our Lord. The people in them may be good people, but those aren't his nation. Those aren't his kingdom. He has a kingdom, and it begins here in amongst us. I chose many years ago to sacrifice because I wanted to build this kingdom, because it's the greatest thing to me. The hope for our future, the hope for our children, that they will not be destroyed when the Lord comes through and destroys. I see today a lot of work that's going undone. And there's a lot of people here. I know all of us are busy. We all got the things that we got to get done. But we have to think about what kingdom we're trying to build up. I don't know about Africa and the Philippines, but I know in Honduras we don't have that great of a hymnal. We don't really have good Sunday school material in Spanish. There's a wealth of other things that we don't have that we could have. I don't know what they sing from in Africa, but I doubt they've got a Church of Christ hymnal. It would give me no greater joy than to know that the brothers, no matter where they are in the world, are singing the same hymns, the same songs, the same praises to God. That we're the same everywhere. One heart, one baptism, one faith, one church. That's what I want to see. And that's what I see as the opportunity for us. An opportunity that no one else has. There's not another church in this world that has the opportunity that we have before us today. Each one of us is individuals. But it's a choice that each one of us has to make. I'd like to leave with one more scripture verse in the Bible. In Philippians chapter 2. I'd like to start in verse 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's what the Lord called us to be his people. The true charity in all of our life, in everything we do, thinking of others. And that's what's going to build his kingdom. Nothing else. I'd like to thank you for your time this night.
And I wish upon you the blessings that the Lord has for us.
Those are some beautiful thoughts to think that we have an opportunity like no other. You know, I believe it myself. The past few days, the past few weeks, I believe that's true. I'm absolutely convinced of it. We have an opportunity before us like no other, maybe never since the beginning of time. And for me, I know it's true. One of my biggest problems when I went to Mexico to start with was to stop thinking like an American, which is very difficult to do. But there isn't a need for it. And sing.
Thank you.
Are there any other special announcements? Tomorrow, 9:30, prayer service. Would you please bow your heads? Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you soberly at the end of this service, thinking, Father, about the great work that is ahead of us, praying, Father, that we'll be able to participate in that great work, and that we will, Father, be able to give our all. And, Father, as well, to take the yoke of your Son upon us, that the burden of this work would become light, that we would be carried and helped along the way by the yoke, by being yoked with our Savior. So, Father, be with your children, have patience with us, as we endeavor, Father, to think and to consider all the things which we have heard during this conference and to try to apply them through our prayers and through our actions. Help us indeed, Father, to think upon a grand scale of the great Zion which shall indeed be, Father, when all your people shall gather together under the kingship of our Lord and our Savior. Do pray that you'll help us to work towards this end. We ask in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.